This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our adventure in Acts with Saul Preaches Jesus, Saul in Jerusalem and the healing of Aeneas, Dorcas restored to life, Cornelius's vision, and finally, Peter's vision. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The grooming is making this normal. Gender identities and pronouns, making that okay. And so I think that finally this time when they came for the kids, now I think people are like, well, now I don't care. I'm not afraid anymore. You're not taking my kids.
Kind of the best way to understand progressive church bodies is that they're not churches. They're a jobs program for unemployed musical theater majors.
Psychologists and sociologists, they went and did the studies. And what they discovered was that evangelical Christian men who attend church regularly test out as the highest of any group in America in terms of being loving husbands and engaged fathers.
This is our historical hope for the future, that Jesus, who came in time and space, will appear again, coming on the clouds of heaven to renew the whole creation to the pristine paradise and sinlessness that existed at the beginning of the world.
Missionaries around the world, love issues, etc., especially Pastor Sean Denser.
How do you govern a church body? It's a big task. And in a church like mine, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, where theology and practice are of paramount importance, how do you govern and oversee the theology and practice of over 6,000 congregations? Well, we have an officer that we elect to do that. It's the president of the Synod. That's his primary job, governing and overseeing the theology and practice of this church body, but he can't do it alone. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, July the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the vocation of vice presidents in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with Pastor Ben Ball, sixth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Here in the first half hour or so, Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us for This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Evangelicalism's Doctrines on Vision. And then Pastor Roy Askins joins us. He's author of a chapter in the new book, Rediscovering the Issues Surrounding the 1974 Concordia Seminary Walkout. It's part three of a retrospective on the Lutheran battle for the Bible. Pastor Ben Ball is senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, and he's sixth vice president representing the central region of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ben, welcome.
Great to be back on with you today.
Where would we find the vocation of a synodical vice president in the Bible?
Nowhere. It is a creation of the church to assist the congregations and workers of our synod in their calling to remain faithful to God's word and the proper proclamation of it to the world. Synod vice presidents are a thing the church has made up, as are synod presidents. A long time ago in 1847, congregations got together and formed this thing which we now call the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. And at the time, they decided we should have a president, and then they had one vice president. And the vice president's duties were simply to represent the president in whatever capacity the president would see fit the vice president to do, and also to fulfill the office of president should the president not be able to do those things that he was supposed to do. Even though that is said, oversight over doctrine and life is an important part of the calling of the church, in which vice presidents have a responsibility as the president might assign. And so there is a Bible passage about that, one of many. It's from 1 Peter chapter 5. I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So, St. Peter exhorts the fellow elders in the church to be overseers, express oversight over the flock that's committed to their care. Pastors do that for the good of the people, directing them to God's will and his word. And so, ecclesiastically, the church, according to the freedom that God has provided, also sees oversight as being part of the responsibility that God would give to us. And so the church is free to set up that oversight as it sees fit. And so in our synod, we have the office of president, and his duties, according to the Constitution and bylaws, are to supervise the doctrine and administration of the variety of the things the synod does and the people who hold those office. And the vice presidents of the synod, it's their task to assist the president in his duty in overseeing doctrine and life and all the work of the synod that we accomplish together.
How are the regional vice presidents elected?
The congregations of the synod are able to nominate two men from the ordained roster of our synod to serve as their vice president. And so out of each region come a slate of nominees, those who are willing to serve in the office. And those top five nominees then go to the synod convention, where the convention together elects the regional vice president, who is an officer of the synod.
So let's talk about some context here. What is the synodical presidium?
So the synodical presidium are the five regional vice presidents who serve in a part-time capacity, then the synod president and the first vice president of the synod. So those seven individuals serve as the presidium of the synod. The president, of course, is a full-time position. The first vice president is a full-time position. As I said, the vice presidents all serve in a part-time capacity. Currently, all of us are parish pastors. Three of us are senior pastors of churches and schools. One of us is an assistant pastor at his congregation. The other is a sole pastor at his church up in South Dakota.
What is the Council of Presidents?
So the Council of Presidents is the 35 district presidents of our synod, plus the presidium. And this is a council that has been created by the synod, and it has some really important purposes. The bylaws say that the Council of Presidents, they exist to provide opportunity for the presidents of the districts and the presidium of the synod to counsel with one another on matters regarding the doctrine and administration of the synod. So the council together, it gives an opportunity for the district presidents, the synod president, the presidium, to talk about the doctrine and practice and administration of the synod and to work together towards the goals and objectives the synod has given to itself.
What role or roles do the regional vice presidents have in the events leading up to, in preparation for, the synodical convention every 3 years?
So all of our responsibilities flow from the office of president, and the president has great responsibility in the preparation for the convention of the synod. So, for example, the presidium has as a responsibility consultation and the selection of the floor committees that prepare the resolutions that the convention will deal with. We also serve on the floor committees themselves. And I was a floor committee chairman and had the opportunity to help craft resolutions for the schools, young adults, youth, and families of floor committee for this upcoming convention. We also, as a matter of fact, next week are going to be doing some work in preparation for the convention, especially how we're going to be chairing the convention. So the president, President Harrison, he'll have the most of the work to do while the convention is going on, leading the conversation, the debate, and so forth. But he's going to take breaks throughout the convention, and so he'll call upon the vice presidents to take the chair from time to time. And so we're going to prepare for that. So I found in these last few months that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to prepare for the synod convention. And it's been really an honor to be a part of some of that preparatory work, and looking forward to being there in a couple weeks as we all that work comes to its fruition.
If I'm not mistaken, prior to 2010, the vice presidents were not regional. They were simply vice presidents, and they were elected irrespective of where they lived or where they resided. So that change from vice presidents to regional vice presidents has to be put in the context of what was kind of half enacted in 2010, which was a massive restructuring of synodical governance, basically. And it only got about halfway or a third of the way done in 2010, and then that restructuring essentially came to a massive halt with the election of Matt Harrison, as you mentioned, as the president. There was nobody else behind it pushing anymore.
Right.
What was the purpose of going from vice presidents to regional vice presidents in the kind of the stepping stones of this massive restructuring?
If you look at the history of the Synod prior to that 2010-2013 time, it was true that because we are very intensely a Midwestern church, a great majority of the vice presidents came from the Midwestern area. That's where we are. And so I think there was a sense that we need to spread out, well, spread the love, as it were, have vice presidents come from the different regions of the country so that, I guess, those voices were heard, I guess is way, the kind of way it would be put about today, I suppose. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. Districts have done this for a very long time, having regional representation of their vice presidents, because it is true that different regions of the country face different issues. And so it's also good to have regional vice presidents, I think, because instead of having five vice presidents at the time, it went to six who didn't have a specific focus. Now we do. A congregation will know that Vice President Ball is the vice president for my region if I'm serving in Central Illinois, for example. And so I have a closer connection to those district presidents, district boards of directors, congregations. And I think that was the intent at the time, to have not only representation from different regions, but also the vice presidents could focus on their particular region and the issues that might be at play in the congregations that are more close to them geographically.
Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. He's sixth vice president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. We're talking about the vocation of vice president in the LCMS. On the other side, do these regions in Synod correspond to the districts of Synod, or do some of them get split up? When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ad Crucem's Christmas in July sale is being held from July 1st until the 8th. Almost all our products are less 25%. This only happens once a year, so hurry on over to adcrucem.com and stock up on jewelry, church banners, certificates, plaques, chancel culture products, Christmons, Christmas ornaments, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. We're talking about the vocation of vice president in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So Ben, these regions that we've been talking about in Synod, do they correspond with the districts of Synod? And what about the two non-geographical districts?
Yeah, so the congregation, there's two non-geographical districts. There's the English district and the SCLC district. And the congregations that are in those districts have their representation from their regional vice president. The regions are not just for the vice president. They're also for various positions on the Synod Board of Directors and the two big mission boards, the International Mission Board and the National Mission Board. And so that regional representation is retained in those boards as well. I believe the congregations that are in Canada are all part of the East Southeast region. So we do have some English district churches that are up there.
Are these regions fixed or can they be changed?
The Board of Directors every 3 years sets the regions based, again, upon the population of the Synod, and they've pretty much stayed constant since this change has taken place around 2010.
What have you learned about the internal functioning of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during your time as a regional vice president?
Well, I've learned that the congregations of our Synod really do care about our doctrine and practice and life together. I've been able to visit all of the districts in my region several times. I've interacted with pastors there, with a good number of lay people at different events. And the people are really concerned that we would remain faithful to God's word, to the Lutheran confessions, and they want the word of God proclaimed in this very difficult and challenging world in which we live. And it's really been refreshing to see the faithfulness of so many people and their desire that our synod would flourish and succeed in its goals of faithfulness to God and to his word. And I've learned just a new appreciation for our synod and its people. It really has been great.
So you've been doing this now for the last 4 years. What has it entailed for you? A lot of meetings?
A lot of meetings. I think when I was elected in 2019, I had a sense of what the position was, but I obviously really didn't know. It is kind of, as the young people say, a side hustle. Myself and the other regional vice presidents, for the most part, you know, we're very busy individuals. Busy as in we have lives, our wives, our children. Of course, some of the men are grandfathers at this point too. And then just the parish life that I live, of course, in a very active and faithful and vibrant and living congregation. So to add this responsibility was really kind of a challenge. And at the front end, again, not knowing what to expect, I talked to my predecessor, Dr. Daniel Preuss, quite a bit about how do things go, what can I expect. And of course, President Harrison also talked to me about certain things, about what could I expect. So we did, and I still didn't expect all the things that I was going to have to do. So the big thing, of course, are the Council of Presidents meetings. So as a member of the Presidium, I'm a full member of the Council of Presidents, and those meetings take place 4 times a year. Most of them are in St. Louis, but sometimes we go to other places. And the travel that's involved there, it's not always the best, especially when you have 5 children like I do. But it's important to go to those meetings because, as the bylaws say that I read, it's there that we discuss and talk about the doctrine and practice and life of our synod. And I think it's very helpful for us as regional vice presidents to bring the perspective of an active parish pastor to those meetings. The district presidents, some of them do still do serve in the parish, but they have a very different responsibility than we do. Regional vice presidents don't have direct ecclesiastical supervision over anyone in the synod unless President Harrison would give that responsibility to us in some way, shape, or form. So we go there as, again, full voting members, but with this perspective of someone who's actively practicing the life of the parish. And I think that's very good. And so we were able to speak for parish pastors in ways that really the district presidents can't, just because most of them aren't actively serving in the parish anymore. They certainly are actively involved in parish life. We just bring a different look to the life of the synod when we come to those meetings. I've also learned that while things can be very complex in the synod, most of the time it always goes back down to very simply, what does the word of God say? And then how do we then apply the word of God to a particular situation? And so in many ways, it's bringing kind of the pastoral task to the synod at large. And I have the opportunity to do that. And I'm very thankful. It's really an honor to do it. And I'm thankful that I've been able to serve in this way. And it really is a great honor. The other thing that we do, of course, is represent President Harris. And some of the vice presidents, according to the bylaws, serve on boards of regents of our seminaries. President Harrison sends us out to represent him in a variety of situations. Again, going in visitation to districts, both to pastoral conferences, to general church workers conferences, to district boards of directors meetings, consulting with our district presidents on a variety of issues. And again, it's just been great to do that and to meet with people and to hear how God is at work in our synod, in our congregations, in many, many good ways. And also, sometimes in very challenging ways in which the Word of God has to be applied, but only for the sake of the confession of our church and for the glory of God's name, and I get to be a part of that too.
Pastor Ben Ball is senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois. He's sixth vice president representing the central region of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Folks, you'll find our recommendations for vice presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at issuesetc.org/2023nominations. We are recommending all of the vice presidential incumbents, including Pastor Ben Ball. issuesetc.org/2023nominations. Ben, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Are you concerned about sending your son or daughter to a public high school in the upcoming school year? Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas provides live, interactive online classes for high school students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us on the other side with This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we'll talk about evangelicalism's teaching on visions.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends his Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Have you heard the rumblings about the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, it's coming up this summer in Milwaukee. In convention, LCMS delegates comprised of both laity and clergy gather for worship, study of God's Word, and to discuss and vote on the business of Synod. For a preview of what's coming up, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, cph.org to subscribe to the magazine, or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church in Columbus, Ohio is a downtown church with members from over 40 cities around Columbus. Our attendees receive God's gifts in word and sacrament through the use of the historic liturgy, lectionary, and hymns. The Divine Service with Communion is celebrated every Sunday at 8 and 10:30, and also Wednesdays at 7. Learn more at zionlcms.org. That's zionlcms.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu.